This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 262 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Are we doing an episode this week?
Yes, mate, we are.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I wasn't sure. I thought we took a listener's poll during the week we were off.
Yeah.
And I think it came back about even. Was the week better or week worse by not having us recording? I think a few people are going to try. I see there's like a donation, a PayPal donation thing on the Shudders Inc. podcast website.
Yeah.
I think we should set one of maybe a second one
right
for don't record, donate to not record, and we'll see which one gets the most money.
Maybe we should start a Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to make the podcast longer unless we reach our goal.
I was reading just last night about a band in America who released on Spotify a new album.
Yeah.
All silent.
Right.
Every track, not a saying on it.
Yeah.
And they got wanted all their listeners to listen, get all their fans to listen to it all night long whilst they were asleep.
Right.
And they raised $20,000 in Spotify payments for nothing. Because they wanted to try and raise money for a tour.
Nice.
So we could maybe, you know.
Talk about gaming the system.
Oh, I know.
That's awesome.
I'm not quite sure if they're going to actually pay out or not. Apparently, it's a 2-month gap before Spotify pays. So they're waiting. Yeah. Kind of funny.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
So, have you been? Seems like 14 days since I spoke.
At least. Yes.
Oh, may I just make one past mention to as not recording last week.
Right.
A big thanks to Rob Van Elven, the only person who said, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
There was no episode. One. No, yeah. Only one. But if you suppose, if you're looking percentage wise, 1/7 of our listener readership said, well, that's sad to hear. Yeah. 6 out of 7 people couldn't care that we didn't record.
But I put up a post that said there'll be no podcast this week, and at least 2 people clicked like.
See, twice as many people liked that we didn't record as didn't.
There we go.
there's a percentage. I mean, marketers would work wonders with these silly, these basic little figures.
Yeah.
2 likes and 1, somebody said something and bang.
Yeah.
There we are. We have an entire advertising and marketing philosophy built around that. I think it's how politics works, actually. It's an interesting thing.
Totally.
So, how's your week in 2 weeks been?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. No shooting, but I have got a shoot happening this weekend, so.
Really?
Yeah. Just a Central Coast model. I did mention this a couple of weeks ago.
That's right, you did. Yeah, that's coming to fruition, isn't it?
She's been keen to shoot with me for...
She's seen your photos, hasn't she?
I was waiting for it. And I was going to say that by the time you get back from the US, you'll have forgotten about this shoot, and therefore you won't be giving me a hard time about how much you hate the photos I shot.
I just put a mental note on paper. we'll be lambasting you one way or another.
I'm sure you will.
I'm nothing if not critical, you know that.
And consistent.
I just jump ahead, speaking about ridiculing your photos and stuff. I had to judge. I've been up in central Queensland this last weekend.
Oh, in some town I'd never even heard of.
Billowheeler.
No, it wasn't Billowheeler. You were judging some place beginning with a C. No,
the Clyde Valley.
Clyde Valley. I've never heard of it.
Annual show. And Billowheeler's the largest town in the Clyde Valley.
Yeah, well, I've heard of Billowheeler.
Yeah, well, that's the largest town in the valley.
Right. How many towns are in the valley?
I think the one.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to be the largest sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I had to judge their photo competition for their annual show.
Yeah, right.
And they had over 800 entries in 42 categories.
800 people were vying for a $2 prize.
Well, not necessarily 800 people, but 800 entries.
Oh, 800 entries.
One guy
could
put in 798 for all I know.
Right.
No, there was 42 categories, dude.
Okay.
First prize in each category.
was $2.
$2. Second prize, $1.50. Third prize, $1.
Wow.
So I'm talking the entire prize pool was, I think it was over $160. It was pushing. Pushed its way towards 200.
The
pressure was on.
So whose money bank or piggy bank did they roll for the prize pool?
It cost 50 cents an entry. You put a photo. It cost you 50 cents to enter a photo.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we're talking big time country folks out here. You know, it's mining country. They've got a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you know they took in $400.
Yeah.
Yeah, and only put out 160. So
somebody pocketed $240.
Not so shabby, is it? Yeah, you laugh. You get somebody else from out of town to do the payment, to do the judging.
Yeah.
All they do is rake in the cash.
Yeah, it's a pretty good scam.
And the person who gets the blame for picking the worst the photos, why on earth did you choose that? Well, he's gone out of town already. Yeah.
He's jumped on a plane. He's 1,000 km south of here.
I think my father-in-law succinctly it perfectly. He was saying they get somebody in from outside.
Yeah.
So everyone can blame somebody who's not in the locality in the area, and there's no intentions.
Nice.
But I did manage to do it. Said 42 categories, over 800 photos, in less than 50 minutes.
Wow.
Which is apparently a record.
Wow.
So put it this way, the people are having trouble keeping up putting the categories on the table for me to judge. I'm done. we rocketed through them. So now it was an interesting challenge. Actually, it was. I've never had to judge. Yeah, you know, I've done camera club competitions, that sort of judging before.
Yeah,
and yeah, you got 20 or 30 entries, but it's quite another one where you're presented with such a broad range of images. But here's another thing. I had to make some suggestions to their next year's selection of what they do for subjects or for categories.
Right.
Because they have a print category and then an enlargement category.
Okay.
They said, but you know, some photos just look better enlarged. I said, well, not to a good judge, they don't. They look the same. Maybe when you're displaying them at the end of a show, absolutely. But, you know, when I'm judging a photograph, I'm not judging by how big the paper is it's printed on.
No.
You know, I don't really care if it's a 6x4 or an 8x10, but it's a bit easier if it's a little bit bigger, but it takes up more desk space and it's harder to get through them as quick. So fortunately, the majority were just normal 6x4 photos. So they were pretty quick to get through.
Hmm.
And there was high school categories and junior categories and, yeah, people with only one eye category. That wasn't quite that precise. There's open categories. It was the year of the horse, apparently. So they had horsey cat, and being a horsey, the people with farms have all had horses. So,
yep.
There's photos of the Shire wanted to take photos of the Shire of the area so they could use it for their website. And
yep.
it was a fun exercise.
Were there any standout performers amongst them all?
I don't know if anyone listens, Bruce.
Right. Fair enough.
But I will say this. I think the five people that were assisting on the day, all from the Shire, sounds like we're talking Lord of the Rings.
It does.
The Shire. They all had entries in the competition.
Right.
So they're laying out the photos, looking at it, and of course I don't know which is which. I'm just going, gone. And if that's their work, it just must be just slam, slam, slam. Because I can take a photograph out and point 0.3 of a second. I'm doing 2 or 3 a second. Easily.
Yeah, right.
And so the artistic merit of their photograph is judged in gone.
Well, mate, so, I hope you enjoyed your final trip to Billowheeler.
Yeah. I must have done something right because they're inviting me back for 2015 and the next Shire over wants me as well. So
right.
That must have been the smaller town.
Right.
Smaller towns. It was a wonderful weekend. I took my web guy and all round brother from another mother, David Oakley, up with me.
Yep.
For the weekend and ran him ragged. He came back. He was a shadow of his former self by the time he'd finished.
Right.
But that was good. We ended up there, so we ran an Understanding Your Camera workshop. We did four workshops in 3 days. Understanding Your Camera, Natural Light, Studio, and Flash.
Wow.
And in between, because we finished this, the natural light at 4 and started the studio at 6, I did a shoot in between. The light had been terrible all day for natural light.
Right.
Just overcast and dull and kind of lifeless. So
yeah,
I mean, it's easy to deal with some stuff, but there's no challenges, you know. And but then just as everyone went home, before the next group arrived for the studio, the light got awesome. The model was still there. She had a wedding dress. So we bolted out back out, and we're still in the venue, which is an old heritage museum. So we bolted out and did another shoot.
Cool.
She could never have enough taking photos, Bruce, you know.
That's right.
I wonder why I fell asleep quite so easily on the plane on the way home.
Yeah, right.
But no, so if there's anyone from the lovely area of Biloela, or if you live in rural Australia somewhere and want CPW to come to you, I love it. I love going to rural areas.
Yeah,
just
awesome.
It's just the best fun. I'd rather go to Biloela than Sydney.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, or anywhere than Sydney. No, yeah. a big town, because it's just, you know, there's a whole different atmosphere.
Yeah, right.
So a much joy anyway. So anyway, that's my opinion on about.
You meet great characters in the country.
They are. Yeah, I shot Old Merv and some other guy. I forgot his name, so I just call him Country Gent.
Right.
I managed to shoot a couple of oldies, which is, and the entire photo shoot of both of them lasted about 45 seconds.
Oh wow, that quick.
They were not keen to be involved, and a bit of cajoling, and got a couple of great portraits of these guys.
Right.
Literally, it was two clicks of a shutter with one and three clicks with the other. They're gone. And frankly, I only really needed one of each, because the other ones were sort of backups.
Right.
Just in case shots.
Fair enough.
So I didn't get to shoot as many codgers. But one of the ladies who was judging, was helping me, you know, set the photos out, who's been organising the photo comp for Donkey's years. She showed me a photo of her husband. He was in one of the competitions. He was in one of the photos in one of the categories.
Oh, okay, right.
And I said, "Oh, let's shoot that old codger." She goes, "Oh, it's my husband. Next time you're up, it's a done deal. He's used to modelling." So it's kind of good.
Oh dear.
But the week before that, we went back to the old foundry that me and you went to for our little photo shoot.
Yeah,
and we did me and a couple of customers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We spent a day in there.
Oh, this was with the male ballerina.
Well, we made him. here's the thing: organize this private shoot day. Lady customer organises the models. I've got this model. He's from the VCA, you know, Victorian College of the Arts.
Yep.
And he's a dancer and all this sort of stuff. And
yep.
Oh, this is going to be awesome.
Yep.
And he's going to be lithe and all this sort of stuff. And,
yep.
And you know, I've got him doing all this leaping, and you know, we're playing with slow shutter speeds and time and movement and colour and flash and doing all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Then I put him into a dress and I make him do, you know, pirouettes and all sorts of stuff. And so, just having a little bit of a break. I said, "Oh, yeah, so what are you actually doing at the VCA?" He goes, "Oh, I'm a voice actor."
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not a dancer at all.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I find it highly amusing. Yeah, he was getting into musical theatre.
Oh, man.
That's too much fun. But he was a great guy. I mean, any guy will put on a purple dress for you and flounce around is I'll be using him again.
Yeah, sure. That's a pretty brave move.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people going, yeah, why is he in a dress? Why is he in a dress? You know, and so, well, why not? No, realistically, yeah, I copped quite a bit of flack for.
Well, if you believed that he was a dancer, then it kind of made sense.
Well, anybody, I've got no problem with putting anybody in a dress.
Okay,
I wouldn't fit in that particular dress, but you know, it's jarring. Yeah, it's attention. Yeah. It's a juxtaposition against what we're normally used to seeing. Maybe it's confrontational for some people. I don't know, but isn't that what part of art is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I personally didn't have an issue. If I could have, I would have put makeup on him and you know, mascara running down his face like he'd been crying because his bloke had left him. I would have really hammed it up, but we didn't have much time. there's a difference about your vision of art. I was discussing with the people up at Biloela on the weekend about a couple of other concept shoots I want to do.
Right.
And they're going, "Oh, really? Why would you do that? And I'm going, "Well, because
Because you can.
Yeah, because it's different. You know, it's not visually what we're used to seeing. You know, and therefore maybe it has impact. I don't know. Maybe it stops and makes you think, and maybe that's what photography should be sometimes. Yeah. Not always, but sometimes.
Yep.
And then I was rather pleased this week about, you know, I've been going a little bit about the old nice.
Yeah.
Nice comments. Well, this week I got a big wow.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't a big wow, but it was from a big wow group on Flickr. And they give out big wows to photos they like. And you get
Are you saying the group is called Big Wow?
A big wow. Yeah. Right. The name of the group, and they give out the big wows, and if you accept their invitation to their a big wow group, then you have to comment a big wow on two other photos.
Right.
I gave it a big no. Right. But I did think it was kind of different than nice. And then it was finally simultaneously this the same time this last couple of weeks, this guy started following me on Flickr. And every comment he makes has the word stunning in it.
Right.
Okay. It starts to become nice once you've had stunning that often. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Superlatives only work when they're used rarely.
Yeah.
Stunning enunciation. Fantastic. Oh, stunning full stop.
Yeah, right.
What can you do? So anyway, I've been
kind of loses its impact when it's used like a machine gun.
And then finally, I had we were doing a flash workshop on Sunday up in Billowheeler, and we had a model. It was just one of the local ladies, you know, one of the local girls who'd recently been married, and so we got her out in a wedding frock as well because she wanted some more photos to kind of. Yeah, imply they were from a wedding day.
Right.
So we put her in the grass and we were capturing this incredibly beautiful, I thought, high key off camera flash shot.
Right.
Straight out of the camera. Back of the camera, it was just gorgeous. She had this she was surrounded in golden light and it was just glorious. And we're pretty much just using off camera flash as a fill, just sort of fill some shadows on it. And it was on the back of the camera, stunning. And then, so I got everyone to do that. We're all overexposing the photos by a couple of stops. You know, everything had this really soft light glow to it.
Yeah.
And part of the lesson was to say, okay, look how by overexposing rather than correctly exposing can change the mood and feel of a shot. And then we went and did the same shot. So that was big lens from back. Yeah. Right. So it was really sort of low angle. All we could see was grass and her. And then the second shot we did was underexposed by a couple of stops.
Right.
Wide angle down low.
Yeah.
So then we've got this really bold sky and really punchy, contrasty shot. But both done in camera, a minute apart, just by changing camera settings and flash power settings.
Okay. Yep.
So that was kind of the lesson. Yeah. Look at what you can do in camera. Now, nothing wrong with Photoshop.
No.
But look at how much control you actually do have in camera first, and then enhance in Photoshop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I put these photos up on the net and on Facebook. It actually said they were straight out of camera.
Right.
Not trying to make a point that, there's anything wrong with Photoshop, but this kind of guy came back and it's like, there's a golden halo around her head. That's not straight out of camera. It's calling me a liar, basically.
Right.
Liar. And I said, so I had to reply, not that I was making a statement about Photoshop or not, because I love Photoshop, but we do want to be photographers. We want to get great shots out of the back of our camera. And she's got blonde hair, and there's a lot of sunlight coming through it. I'm afraid that makes a golden halo.
Right.
And comments. Unfortunately, it should have been fairly common sense.
Yeah.
And this guy is a part-time or full-time photographer.
Right.
Not just like just a normal person who's
maybe he shoots. Maybe he shoots clothing for a catalogue or something. And he's just not used to seeing sunlight through hair.
I don't understand that. This is the bane of our industry. That this readiness to accuse or to try and put other people's work down, rather than saying, "Oh, that's interesting. How did you achieve that halo around her hair?"
Yeah,
asking a question rather than putting an accusation.
Yeah.
You could still feel, oh, that's a lie, but ask it as a question.
That exactly. Way
it's like digit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny how we've got this strange fascination with, oh, if it's not real photography, if it's not straight out of camera.
Yeah.
Straight out of camera is great. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The back of the camera, the photos were joyful to look at and everyone loved them. But you still want to work on them in Photoshop.
Yeah.
There's a piece of grass on, because I was shooting through grass, long, and the grass had like these little tines on the end of it.
Yep.
And there's one of them in the middle of her bodice. So in Photoshop, I wanted to clone that out.
Yeah, but of course.
On Facebook, it was on there.
Yeah.
But that's what I would do in Photoshop. Maybe, and her face, because at the end of the day, it was a bit warm and she was a bit sweaty. Her face had a bit of a sheen to it.
Yeah.
And even though she's fairly small in the frame, I want to just reduce that sheen a little bit. So I'm going to Photoshop it.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with Photoshop, you know. But it's funny how people make these strange jumps that you're not a photographer if you do any sort of post processing, and it's just not true.
I wonder how many of those people who take that supposedly moral high ground, have actually only ever exhibited photos that were straight out of camera. Wow. But there aren't many of them.
No, I'd love to say, are you a RAW or a JPEG shooter, sir? Because I'm a RAW shooter, of course. Well, then every photo's edited.
Exactly.
And every photo, even a JPEG straight out of camera is edited because the camera does it.
Yeah.
It puts the sharpening, the contrast, the saturation on for you anyway.
Yeah.
So you're not actually capturing, you're capturing a processed image anyway, irregardless. Yeah. And it's the same back in the days of film, your choice of film determined, especially in color film, because black and white, not so much, it determined your colors.
Yeah.
Black and white, not so much at all. No. if you chose Agfa, it had a certain bias towards. If you chose Fuji, it had a certain bias, and Kodak had a certain bias.
Yeah.
So if you loved doing landscapes, almost always you chose Fuji because it was really good for greens and blues.
Yeah.
And my advice always was to people, buy the color of the film box will match the colors that you want to shoot.
Oh, okay.
However,
the Kodak stuff was golden.
Yeah, it was always warm. It was a warmer shooting film. So, Agfa, even warmer. That's why it was quite orange.
Right, because their box was reddish orange color.
Exactly. Yep. Konica was quite cool, being blue, and said Fuji, a little bit cooler, great for landscape, and people would buy based on how they liked colors. And often the film box actually led them to that brand.
I used to shoot Fuji Velvia slide film. It was a beautiful film.
Beautiful. Because you do landscapes.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful for landscapes because it does greens and blues better.
Yeah.
It's funny,
gorgeous.
Isn't it?
It was gorgeous.
Yeah. Very funny stuff. That was always a bit of a guide back in the days, film.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Interesting.
I do have, you'll find in the links I sent to you, there's a thing, never ask your model to do something.
Right. I haven't looked at that one yet because there were just so many things. I thought I'll look at them as you bring them up.
Well, there's a few photos there of the leaping and the jumping. I thought people might want to see it because we're going to talk about it. And then there's a photo done by one of my customers of me doing the same thing.
Okay, yes.
Not as flattering, I might add. Even though they've already liquefied my belly, which I said straight away, you're liquefying that before you put it on the But yeah, never ask your models to do something you wouldn't do. So there's me being the same idiot that I asked this poor voice artist.
Dear. That's great.
And then, I came across this great site, this great Flickr user tonight I wanted to share a few things from him.
Right.
And he's, if I can pull it up. So I knew if I left it as a link, it wouldn't work tonight.
Just Imagine Read link?
Yeah, that's the note to myself. Read the link, Glenn. Read the link. Of course, now the link's not opening. Yes. We're doing this without a net, folks, because Annette couldn't make it tonight. Yeah.
From 4 inches to infinity.
Oh, no, that, not that.
Oh, that's right, something else?
No, that's the one. I just forgot what the link was. I just love this marketing. This is from a photographic magazine, and listen to this. I'm going to put my voiceover voice on now.
Right.
Just imagine, with only one lens, you take pictures at infinity and close-ups of the same subject in life size or magnified by simply moving in closer and closer to the subject while turning the lens. Terrific, isn't it?
What a novel concept.
Cool, focusing, folks. But this is for Exacta announcing continuous focusing with the new Exacta remarkable Steinhell Autoquinaron lens. So this guy has got all these Flickr pages of old photographic magazines,
oh, wow,
and adverts and stuff.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's just fantastic. There's some great stuff.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I can see all the thumbnails there, right.
So this one is just all about this lens and being able to focus the damn thing.
It's funny, you know, because as soon as I pulled the link up and I saw the heading from here, 4 inches to infinity, I thought, yeah, my first thought was, oh, this must be the lens that, you know, exactly, this Australian guy, yep, had developed that you were talking about a couple of episodes back, it's but it's
exactly
not.
What I thought too, which is what piqued my interest in the first place.
But it's not.
I thought, wow, what is this special piece of kit? Oh, what, you walk closer and you focus as you get closer. and that was state of the art.
Yeah.
That was worth making a whole advert for. Yeah. So you can now walk towards the subject and keep focusing.
A full page ad at that.
Exactly. So I loved it. It was, and you know, not have to put in extension tubes just to be able to get in close to something.
Yeah, nice.
Very funny. And then another one I found on there, which was great, was the camera used by 93.9% of all news photographers.
93.9. Not to put too fine a point on it.
Exactly. So imagine being a company that is so dominant in one field that you have 94% of the market effectively.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this, in that day and age, was the Graflex.
Right.
The speed graphic camera that all news photographers used. Everyone used to use the speed graphics all the time.
Oh, okay.
It was the camera of choice and completely gone. Look at the shift and change in how technology and how a brand that can be so dominant. You think of a Canon and Nikon today, you think, oh, they're impervious, they're going to be forever.
Well, I think people thought of that Kodak in much the same way.
Exactly. And this company had 94% of the market, of that market.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was pretty cool too. So this guy's got a whole swag of stuff.
Yeah, right.
But one I loved, and I thought, oh, this is a great visual and descriptive visual piece,
yeah,
was on how much motion will your shutter speed stop article.
Right.
If you pull that one up and have a look, and I definitely want to put this link in the show notes, because if people struggle with the concept of what shutter speeds do and how they work, but also in relation to movement to and from, across you, away from you, all this sort of stuff, this is a great visual reference.
Yeah, right.
If you've got it up there,
it's just come up. Depends on angle of motion and distance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And funny, I was describing this on the weekend to a customer, and they just didn't quite get it, you know. And I'm sending you this.
Yeah.
You know, this is fantastic. But what I was trying to describe to her is that we're talking about what shutter speed do you need to freeze something?
And yeah, right.
How fast you are moving and how close it is, or how fast it is moving and how close it is to you.
Yeah, right.
She's going off traveling. And I said, now, if you're driving down the road at 100 kilometers an hour and you look down at the road, that road's going past pretty darn fast.
Yeah.
Look at the fence posts on the side of the road. They're going down pretty darn fast. But the tree in the field's going past, yeah, moderately fast. The mountains are hardly moving at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yep, you're still doing 100 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so and that there's a little picture there that really describes it. They're from 6 feet, 12 feet, 30 feet, and 50 feet of someone going past on a bike.
Yeah,
and how the same shutter speed changes the amount of freeze
and how the angle of travel affects, yep, it as well. Yeah,
so that was a brilliant little visual guide. So if there's anyone out there sort of struggling with just really grasping, yeah, all the complexities of shutter speed about movement and stopping movement,
yeah,
or for that matter, increasing movement if you want to get blur. It was a top little article.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to I'll zoom in on that and read it after we've finished recording, because yeah, it looks good.
Just thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
And then the last one I'm going to mention on this one, because there's, you know, lots of other stuff for people to have a gander at.
Yeah.
There's a wealth of stuff on there. Was an advert for the fastest, easiest handling quality SLR.
Okay.
And what struck me was, well, is there a faster, easier handling non-quality SLR? Look, I'm not really after the really high quality stuff. I just want fast and easy. Go to it. It's a funny way of phrasing it, yeah. And the other thing that struck me about the advert is the brand of camera.
The Canon Flex.
Yeah, but is it? Look at the picture of the Canon.
It's Bell and Howell.
Slash Canon. It's a Bell and Howell slash Canon. It's not just a Canon.
No.
It's actually branded Bell and Howell slash Canon, which I'd never seen before.
Yeah, right.
And it was obviously sold for, and when I read through it, it was sold through Bell and Howell stores in the US, and they effectively privately branded their own Canon cameras, or had Canon brand them for them, which shows how big a part of the market they must have had in those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can, you know, get Mr. Canon, or yeah, whoever was running it at the time, might have been Mrs. Canon, running it. I couldn't imagine them doing it these days, could you?
No.
Yeah. Can you imagine Apple licensing their product to be, I don't know, yeah. Say, even for someone like Telstra here in Australia, the phone company wouldn't be a Telstra Apple phone.
No.
Yeah, they'd never allow that. Yeah.
No.
So that struck my interest in two things: fast, easy, and quality. Yeah. Well, even faster, but not so much the quality, which I love. Yeah. I've got a bunch more stuff. How about you talk for a bit?
Okay.
What have you got?
Well, I've got nothing. I've just got the things. The only things I've got are the things that people put on the wall of the Facebook page.
And there was some good stuff this last.
And there was some good stuff.
Appreciate everyone who put that stuff up this last couple of weeks.
Yep, thank you. Carl Hemmings put up a video from YouTube from the Digital Rev crew, and it was how to look like a pro photographer. That's very funny. So that link will be in the show notes. Definitely worth a look if you've got 7 minutes to kill. Michael Morley and I think a slew of other people all mentioned the absolutely ludicrous patent that was awarded to Amazon over the last couple of weeks. They now own the rights to the technology for shooting product with a seamless white backdrop.
They've actually got the rights to
Got the patent, yep. And apparently it's because the US Patent Office doesn't recognize prior art. It's just the first person to claim the patent.
Oh, love.
That's just ridiculous.
But what are they going to do? They're going to sue everybody who shoots with the white background?
Like? I don't think it's intended to be a troll move in that sense. I think what it is they're covering themselves from anybody else patenting that, you know, technique. Not, I just can't imagine anyone would have bothered anyway, but I guess it's a protective
measure.
Has
anyone ever patented like a stripper stripping on a stripper pole? Because I mean, that's, yeah, I know that's been going for a while, but yeah, if you can corner the market. You know, yeah. It's ludicrous. It's like maybe getting a patent on bus stops.
I know. It's insane.
It's something that's fairly ubiquitous and, yeah.
Can't believe that a lawyer for Amazon would have proposed that they apply for the patent in the first place, and B, that someone at the patent office was stupid enough to approve it.
Yep.
That's just ridiculous. Anyway.
Personally, I would have put B, that someone at Amazon said, oh, why not then? And then C, the guy at the patent office. Yeah. It's very odd.
But
very,
what I find really, really odd is if you scroll down into the actual text of the patent, there's some really non-specific things that are written into it. And I'm just trying to find one. Oh God, because I was looking at it on my phone earlier today, and now I'm looking at it in my web browser in my desktop machine. The page is all formatted differently, and I'm having trouble finding the.
Things. Is your phone bigger than your desktop? Is it?
No, it's smaller, and because of
getting that way. Yeah, I got the new 21-inch iPhone.
Exactly, but it had things like. You know, at a height of approximately 10 feet. And I'm thinking, well, how can you put language like approximately into a patent? That's ridiculous.
It does seem a bit loose, doesn't it?
It was crazy. And there were multiple
ideas. If you can patent ideas, I guess it's allowed to have some looseness in exactitudes as far as something like as simple as that. Yeah, but it does seem odd.
It's very weird. And I was listening to This Week in Tech today, and they were discussing this as well. And someone said, are you sure this isn't an April Fool's joke?
Exactly. They're still doing the rounds,
And I've been Googling to see whether or not this was whether it was in fact an April Fool's joke, but no, I've come across the actual patent filing. So presumably it's fair dinkum. So,
unbelievable.
Anyway.
It's all fun and games.
Exactly.
Anyone who gets away with stuff like that, I would say good on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on them for thinking about it in the first place.
Yeah. So,
for being one step ahead of the rest of us schmucks.
That's right.
May you get a dollar from every single person who shoots gets a white backdrop.
That's right. We then got a couple from Adam Davidson. The first one was the camera, or a whole bunch of cameras, actually, that are being placed around Berlin.
Yeah, I love this.
And they are going to photograph Berlin continuously with a 100-year shutter time. So the idea is that it's based on a pinhole camera. They're doing a bit of a crowdsourced funding to set this all up. And the theory behind it is that using a pinhole camera, you know, tiny little aperture that will allow light in to expose a piece of film over 100 years will allegedly show the changing landscape directly in front of that camera over a 100-year period, and that, you know, buildings that get knocked down and replaced will leave a ghost image, you know, over the top of the, you know, the building that gets put up in its place. So, yeah.
As long as the camera's not in the building that's being knocked down.
That's a good point. Well, maybe that's why he's planning on putting 100 of these cameras around Berlin. Yeah. But
Might be one left. Now, call me a cynic, Bruce.
Yeah, you are a cynic.
Call me a cynic. But, yeah, let's just maybe look at what's stopping this bloke from raising, I don't know, say $20,000 on Kickstarter.
Yep.
Going on holidays to Berlin from wherever he lives. Just walking around with a couple of cardboard boxes, shoving a pinhole in it and shove it in the corners. I've done it.
Yeah.
Who's going to be there to see the development?
Exactly. No one alive today is going to be around 100 years from now.
He's always going to do is take some photos of his iPhone of him putting little boxes into little tin cans into corners of buildings somewhere, and everyone's going to believe it.
Yeah.
Nice holiday, stays at a lovely hotel, lovely meals, gets to see Berlin. Yeah, you could have probably chosen somewhere more interesting. I'm thinking about doing the 1,000-camera Milford Sound, New Zealand, to see if the rising waterfalls, water actually will happen over 1,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
1,000-year exposure. There you go.
Yeah. The other one that Adam sent us was the link to an old movie set, which is currently up for sale for $7.5 million. You too can buy this this property, and I'm just bringing up the link now to see where it was. Blue Cloud Movie Ranch. It's been the site of productions such as Iron Man, Zero Dark Thirty, and True Blood. Up for sale for $7.5 million, and there's just all these great sets that are spread out all over this property. They've got Middle Eastern, like war-torn type sets that are so realistic that apparently the US Army have used it as a training ground at times. But some of the sets just look fantastic. You and I would just have a field day in there, mate.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Have you looked at the images?
I'm just doing it just as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, the link was from Adam Davidson, so I normally just ignore those. But, I had a new don't pick on the listener policy.
That's right.
Adam went on a lovely trek, on a beer trek recently through the mountains. And
right.
I think the only photos he took was with his iPhone, but looks like that's what I saw on Facebook.
Right.
But these are cool looking sets, aren't they?
Oh, they're great. So Adam suggested that the seven listeners should all pitch in $1 million each, and we'll buy it.
That's cool, because then we get free. That means we get in for free, Bruce. Cause
that's right.
We're not part of the seven.
That's right.
I reckon it's a good deal.
So do I. Awesome deal. And finally, Steve Peters sent us one to a Kickstarter project for a product called CenterCam. And essentially, this is like four miniature GoPro cameras mounted in a small donut-like enclosure, placed at 90-degree angles to each other. So the four of them, which each shoot a 120-degree angle, meaning that, you know, they're giving you 15 degrees overlap between each camera. And basically the output of these four cameras is then run through a stitching algorithm from the software that comes with it and outputs a 360-degree video. But of course, it comes out in like a, you know, 30:4 aspect ratio. But yeah, really interesting looking project. And yeah, the overlap between the cameras seems to work really well. The little 3-minute video that they've got on their Kickstarter page is pretty impressive. It's some really good stuff. They've got a great scene of a car driving across the Golden Gate Bridge, and then they pan around the whole 360 degrees as the car's driving across the bridge. So they've got 17 days to go.
Yeah, they're halfway there.
They're almost, aren't they? Just shy of halfway. They've raised $425,000. Oh, they just lost money. It just went down to $422,000.
Someone's listening to the podcast.
Right, and gone, oh, God, Shutter Zinc's covered it. It's dead. I want my money back.
I had the same thing just happen then as well. Oh, it's just gone back up again.
All right.
It's all made up as it goes along. Yeah. Oh, they're making up. I was gone back down again.
It's gone up again. 425.
I'm back down at 422. That's very suspicious. Somebody's indecisive. Should I? And we're back at the 425.
Maybe it's tied into currency fluctuations. So anyway, they've got 17 days to go. They're still looking for another half mil.
Someone I know just has backed something on Kickstarter. It's another one of these 360 jobs. It's basically a ball.
Right.
But the whole ball is cameras. Lasers, cameras. And you throw the thing up in the air.
Yeah.
And when it reaches its maximum height, it takes a photograph with all the, 72
lenses.
That's
right. I think you mentioned this one.
And it's not arrived yet, but I'm waiting to see that. And you can either look at just one image or put it on a computer and zoom around the whole 360 degree. Or wouldn't it be 360? What's 1,080 degrees? What's a full circle?
I don't know what the for a sphere.
Anyway,
I don't know.
You can look everywhere.
Awesome.
It's spherical image.
Yeah.
So that'll be this amazing. All this stuff's coming out. It's so cool.
Finding a playback screen is going to be a mongrel.
No, they're coming out with the curved screens now, aren't they? TVs. All we need them is a spherical one. You can put your head on inside.
Yeah, it'd be like a motorcycle helmet.
You had virtual goggles on.
Yeah, right.
Virtual reality. You'd be able to just move your head around.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice.
I know a guy in America in Los Angeles, a video game developer, and he was trialing some new virtual reality goggles that day. He said, which is just mind-blowing.
Is this the Oculus Rift?
No idea, dude. I'm not sure.
Right. Because Oculus Rift is kind of the VR helmet that everyone's going ape over at the moment. So
maybe it was.
Right.
But he was going ape over it. So if they are and he is, yeah,
it's probably the same thing.
But it was mind-blowing what this thing could do. So,
yeah, right.
Super cool. Yeah, imagine seeing your photos like that. It'd be like,
yeah.
You'd be shooting a bit like you're standing there when you took the photo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the awesome. It takes some of the mystery away, you know. Some of the places I shoot, you know, you see the beautiful portrait of the girl, and you look a little bit to the right, and there's the toilet.
Yes.
There's the rubbish bin.
Or the Val holding the reflector and the flash gun.
You can't take some of the beauty away. It'd be great for behind-the-scenes photos, though.
Oh, wouldn't it?
Because you have both in front of and behind at the same time.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I did see a rumor this week, and I thought you'd be all over it like
the two Sony
there you go.
Rumors Yeah, I wish there was more details, but there aren't any more details at this point in time. But it allegedly an A88, and an A99 Mark II. Both full frame, 35mm sensor DSLR bodies.
Yep.
And yeah, I'll be keen to see where that, you know, ends up.
Apparently, the 88 is going to be like an entry level, fairly inexpensive body, from what I hear.
That seems odd, because I would have thought, being an 88, it would be sort of on a par with my 850, which, you know, at the time my 850 was released, it was the one below the top of the line.
Yeah. And this will still be one below the top of the line, apparently, but it's meant to be coming out. Yeah, they want you getting into these bigger sensors. They want you to fork out. So they want to make it sort of most of the other brands have, what, $2,000, 35mm bodies. Sensor cameras, these bodies these days. So, yeah, you can imagine it's going to be.
Man, I am still super excited about the A7S. I really want to get my hands on that
thing. One
of
the guys on the weekend up in Biluila had one of those. And,
I don't think so. He might have had the A7 or the A7R, but certainly not the A7S.
They look the same to me. Yeah. he had a small Sony with a 35mm sensor.
Yeah, right. So A7 or an A7R.
Hmm. Yeah. So it was a nice small piece of kit.
Yeah, right.
Sort of pretend being an amateur photographer rather than a pro, and it's a good camera to hide what you had to be on. Yeah, you got that other video talking about how to look like a pro, how not to look like a pro. Back in 1981, when I used to work for Fletcher's Photographics, the Photographic Fanatics, we had this internal magazine that was just for the staff, and someone did some cartoons. And one was, back in those days, the Nikon F3 was like the premier 35mm pro camera, and every pro wanted one of those.
Yep.
Well, if you're going somewhere a bit dodgy and a bit worried about your camera, they had this like a Kodak 110 basic film camera cover you could put over the top.
Oh, okay.
So it's just this thing that's sort of shoved over the top. And then they had, if you could only afford the cheap 110 camera, they had the Nikon F3 coming up to make it look like a pro. Which I thought was very clever. Yeah.
And then when someone swipes it off your shoulder in the middle of Rome, you can yell out, "Joke's on you, sucker!"
Very funny stuff. So I'm always been surprised no one's come out with something like that, even just as a joke, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we should patent it now.
Yeah, that's it.
Whilst we can. That's all you got, dude?
That's it.
I've been a bit slack now. I did see this week that if you are on an Adobe Creative Cloud now for Photoshop CC.
Yeah.
That the latest update of Photoshop CC for Camera Raw, the Camera Raw module, has a before and after switch now.
Meaning?
Never had. Well, yeah, if you've done a whole bunch of editing, on all your sliders across different tabs and blah, 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 there's still this little button you can just press before, so you can just do a preview of what you've done.
Oh, wow.
Before you had to go through and switch off all the things you've done to go back and see it.
Yeah, nice.
Now it's just a one-click button. Which kind of makes sense because, you know, people have been doing that stuff for years in other brands, but that's finally come out, which I thought was kind of cool.
Cool.
I saw an article that the US national parks are looking at banning drone cameras, or drones in general, and obviously drones with cameras on them as well.
Yeah, right.
For noise issues.
Oh, come on. They're not that loud.
I don't know if you've got 50 or 60 of them buzzing around. It'd be worth it. Can you imagine Yosemite? You're there looking at the beauty of Yosemite, and there between you and the dome is 70 drones flying. Can you imagine you've come back from doing your sunset shoot, and you come back and, oh, damn, there's a lot of dust on my sensor. Look at the dust on my phone. Oh, no, it's 50 drones in my phone. You can imagine the airspace, the issues. It's something that probably needs to be addressed. It might be a bit over the top now, but you know, they're saying 2014 is the year of the drone.
Yeah.
And who knows how many these things will be flying around in a couple of years' time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going there? You're in this incredible, beautiful place and there's 100, 200, 300 drones.
Yeah. Are there really that many people out there with drones, though?
Not now.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. You've got to say, oh, you can probably see where it's headed, though, can't you?
Yeah.
Well, I certainly could. I could imagine an incredibly popular place that with several thousand people there, and lots of them there are photographers. or videographers.
Yeah.
Yeah, into all this sort of stuff. Well, they're all looking for new angles. They're all looking for something different. Well, where are they going to go? Up.
That's it.
Yeah, so I could certainly see that being an issue. Now, I've got one there, an article there called Vitally Important Info on Bokeh.
Yes.
Bokeh, whatever. However you want to pronounce the thing.
Yeah.
And the video is how to pronounce it.
Right. Okay.
So I thought, yeah, it's such a big thing. And everyone says bocce, bocce, bokeh, bokeh, bocce, wocce, all these other things. I thought, here we go.
Isn't it a real soft eh on the end? Bokeh?
Well, we can all have a listen and find out.
I'm not going to put the audio of the YouTube in here. People can go and listen to it for themselves.
Not here now.
No.
We'll put the link there. They can go watch it themselves.
Absolutely.
And then just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
I put another video just below it.
Yeah.
Where a guy was showing people how to shoot photos without effect, and he gets flamed on the YouTube.
For not saying it right.
I thought it was a lovely little link there.
Excellent.
For all our customers out there, listeners out there who have 4K TVs and no content.
Right.
So I don't know how many of us have, there's probably one.
Yeah, probably. Who knows?
Somewhere. There's a great new video from New Zealand called Awakening, done in 4K, which looks quite amazing.
Right.
Great videography. I'd love to see it actually on something other than my laptop screen.
Yeah, right.
But, I thought, I'll put that out there. It's always nice to watch a bit. I love a good bit of time lapse, I've got to say.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of a time lapse sucker.
Yep.
Speaking of which, the lovely Stephen Frosty, a regular customer of mine, loaned me his Micron time lapse accessory to take to Billowheeler.
Right.
And it's a little box that goes on your camera and can be programmed with your iPhone.
Right.
And one of the things I liked about it was it's got all these preset things built into it. So if you're doing star trails, if you're doing people moving, if you're doing landscapes, if you're doing sunsets, you've got all these preset time lapses that you can choose.
Okay.
It'll do you'll do one photo every 5 seconds for 30 minutes or one photo every minute for 30-second exposure. So it kind of makes...
That's like my trigger trap.
Possibly.
Yeah. And haven't you got something...
Yeah, but I didn't want to tell him that.
Right.
Because
you got a mate who developed something.
Yeah, I use the IO shutter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not this, but this was kind of cool because it was pre-programmed. And I don't know if your one obviously is as well.
You dial it in as to what you want, how many frames you want, what interval you want.
You can do that, but not everyone knows what to do.
Oh, okay.
And what I liked about this is if you're starting out, it kind of gives you a starting point.
Right.
Yeah. It's already built in. You can add your own, but if you're in this kind of circumstance, you can just dial up the most common settings for that type of time lapse and just press one button.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of a smart idea.
Because, yeah.
It makes it more accessible for. And I think he was telling me the accessory is like $49 or something for the box and a couple of bucks for the cable or something. So the link's in there. If anyone wants to sort of maybe have a dabble in time lapse, kind of cool.
Cool. Yeah.
And that's about it for me. It's a pretty busy week being away. I only got back in at 2 o'clock this morning.
Oh, really?
And I'm off again at...
Why 2 o'clock?
By the time the flights and luggage and transport and sort of stuff, and I had to drive home.
Does Tullamarine Airport not have a curfew?
No, we're not like Sydney.
Wow.
Yeah, we're modern.
Probably because it's so far out in the boonies.
Well, not really. I mean, the planes fly over everyone's houses.
Yes, but okay.
Yeah, I hear them. Yeah, turn the wind direction. They go over my place from time to time.
Yeah, right.
And friends' places and stuff. No, there's no curfew.
So, would you get in at midnight or something, and then?
Yeah, and by the time I got everything organised, and got Dave Oakley seen off and all that sort of thing.
Wow.
So, and then I'm off to LA on Thursday. So, another 36 hours or something.
Yeah, right.
So not a lot of time to organise stuff. But tomorrow I'm going to pick up a new gadget to take with me to the US.
Of course you are. What is it?
Awesome. I'm going to pick up the Camranger wireless system.
Oh, okay.
Camranger is it's a wireless camera operating system. So you can operate your camera wirelessly.
Right.
But also stream footage live as you're shooting it live to a laptop.
So what's it using as a protocol? Is it Bluetooth?
No idea. I imagine it's probably an ad hoc system or something like that, I would imagine, rather than Bluetooth.
Or so it's like Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but apparently I haven't tried it yet. I'll be doing that probably here at the airport. I'm doing the shoot. I'm doing these two-hour live shoots at the big photo show.
Yeah,
two classrooms of like 75 to 100 people. Yep. So so it's studio shooting. They're going to be able to see the images.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'll be praying it seamlessly. It just can transfer the images straight over to the big screen for people to look at. But
yeah, right.
Other than that, I've got to use. I have tethering cables and that, but they are a pain when you're walking around because yours. I'm pulling out. Yeah, you know, even though you have stoppers to stop them coming out.
Yeah,
you can pull them out kind of easily. You know, still or stomp with something or pull something over or trip over and pull your camera out of your hand. So I'm hoping the wireless will be a solution to that. So
yeah.
I'll give you a review on the Camera Angel when I return.
Awesome. Sounds good. Yeah, so how long are you in the States?
I leave back to come back here on the 25th. So I return home on the 27th of this month. So a good 2 weeks of no podcast, I'm afraid.
Right. Okie dokie.
Actually, it'll only be one episode missing. I reckon we can squeeze in the next one.
Okay.
So we'll only miss the one episode. How's that sound?
Yep. Well, I'll chat with you on Facebook anyway and we'll work something out. And if it does happen that you're anywhere near a microphone in the States and you want to record while you're over there, we can see if we can tee something up.
Absolutely.
But I won't hold you to that because I know you're going to be busy while you're there. So
I'm running, I think it's 9 workshops in 5 days, plus all this stuff at the show and all this sort of thing. So it's going to be fairly full on.
Jeez. Getting out of your comfort zone there, mate.
Well, actually working. No, I always work hard when I go away. I just don't work hard the rest of the time.
Awesome.
I put in the hard yards when no one can see.
Right. Well, you have a good trip.
Thank you very much.
And stay safe. No taking photos inside the airport at LAX because they seriously will strip search you.
They are rather unpleasant about that sort of stuff, aren't they?
They're a little bit paranoid.
Hey, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't trying to kill you.
That's right.
Exactly.
All right, mate. Well, we'll talk to you at some stage in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
And once again, there's no point giving you a call out to the big photo show because by the time this comes out, it'll be over.
Oh, when does it start?
Saturday and Sunday this week.
Right, okay.
And so by the time it comes out, it's over. So if you were there and I met you, I'm sure you were lovely.
Excellent. All right, mate. Talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shutterzingpodcast.com.